Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Just hold on a minute. I'm just trying to set something up here because I'm trying to work on like two laptops at the same time and trying to get stuff going here. So, okay, there's one. There's two and there we go. Welcome everybody to WFSO Fan View. So how's everybody?
Awesome.
Doing all right.
Doing good.
It seems like you was better than you were last time. Skylar Reed. Yeah, he was out at the last show because he wasn't feeling well. So welcome him back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
For sure.
The stomach bug was going all around. Like Kerry wasn't feeling good, and Skylar Reed wasn't feeling good, and who else was not feeling good?
The world.
Yeah, I was all right. I was all right, but a lot of people were not.
Yeah, apparently so. So, the pay-per-view. This is going to be interesting because I know everybody had a lot to say. I had a lot to say. And just think about certain situations that happened during the pay-per-view, like why this didn't happen, why this happened, and things like that. So, what would be y'all like? Let me think. Like most surprising thing that happened at the pay-per-view last Sunday.
Well, last week in the wrestling world, so much has happened. To elaborate on what you just said, Money in the Bank had some really good surprises that we didn't guess, but other stuff that we all called together. I don't know, Skylar, if you listened to last week's show, we all me, AJ, and Mark, we all made Money in the Bank predictions on who would win matches and stuff. And, of course, the queen of WFSO radio guessed 7 out of 10, so commend to me. Thank you very much. And, Skylar, we want to all welcome you back again, so hopefully you can elaborate on everything that we talked about.
I did not get to hear the last show with being sick and everything. I do want to hear what these 7 out of 10 predictions that you got correct, though.
So, well, the first match was Daniel Bryan and Big Cass. Unfortunately, I did not get that one correct. I went for Big Cass. I think Mark got it right. I think Mark got Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, he was the only one that got it right.
I think you two got it right. I think I got it wrong.
But now he doesn't have a job. Well, at least not there, so.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll talk about that in a little bit of later on in the show, I suppose. Right, AJ?
Right.
Yeah, because I've heard some more news about that mess. Okay, so let's see. I don't know all of them in order, so. Bear with me. I didn't write down the notes. I have them on my phone. So the AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura match, I called AJ Styles winning.
I think
so
I called AJ as well.
That was a good prediction. I think we all did. We all called AJ Styles to win. Okay. The second match I got wrong was the Nia Jax-Ronda Rousey match because WWE turned a spin spoiler on us with Alexa interfering and winning the title. None of us called that.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest shock for me. I did pick Alexa to win the Money in the Bank, but I did not pick Alexa to cash it in nearly 2 hours later and become champion.
And that was the third one I got wrong, was the women's match. I thought somebody from SmackDown would have got it. But in back of my mind, I guess I should have known Alexa was going to win that women's title match. So I was 3 out of three matches wrong, seven correct. I called Braun Strowman winning the men's Money in the Bank. Skylar, since you didn't listen to last week's show, AJ called one of the New Day winning it. And we all are like, you guys are so delusional.
Yeah, he actually, it was a good thought. It would have been cool. So I give him credit for thinking out of the box, but it didn't happen.
I don't think WWE would be ready for any one of them to split up and have one of them win the Money in the Bank, because it would have been like all three of them would have kind of won. So maybe there was no room for that.
I think he predicted Big E, and they put Kofi Kingston in the match, so
yeah.
He got the wrong one they wanted to put in.
Right. That was correct. And about the other women's match, I think, did we all get it right? Because I know I did pick Carmella to win that
match.
Yeah,
I got it. I got that one right. That's the one that I got the spoiler on, where she was going to have help, but I didn't know who. I knew she was going to cheat and have help. That's the one. And then we knew it. Then James Ellsworth showed up. I was like, oh, called it. Knew she was going to get somebody to help her.
I don't think any of us thought Ellsworth was coming back, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
see, I should have listened to Robbie E's Wide Ended. He had James Ellsworth on as a guest. Maybe he might have spoiled it and said he was going back to WWE. I wasn't sure. I didn't listen to the recording. But, yeah, there was something going on with that.
Right.
So,
sorry about that. I knew they was going to try to bring him back for, like, a storyline, but just wasn't sure when they was going to do it. So it only surprised me, like, a little bit.
Of course, it was a big given that the Bludgeon Brothers beat Gallows and Anderson, unfortunately. We all called that one, right?
Question really quick. What were your thoughts on the Money in the Bank? Did you think it was a success, or
yes.
Did it have enough surprises, or?
I believe the Money in the Bank was pretty good. WWE has a tendency that when it's in Chicago, that they put on, excuse my language, I don't know if we can say this on here, a kick-ass show once in a while. And they did knock it out of the park, but I don't think there was enough surprises. Like the Carmella thing, I called, that. The Nia Jax thing and Alexa butting in, I would have never called that. That was like a shock to me. So, but I have to say Money in the Bank was a success, and I kind of wish I would have been there to see it in person.
Yeah, it was a good show as well. I think it was a good show. There was a couple of matches that were very predictable, which, you know, most of their shows, you get a good portion of it that's very predictable. There was some really good matches to watch, and there was some really good surprises. I'm happy they didn't push Ronda Rousey like I didn't want her to be pushed, because she doesn't deserve a push right now. But they kept her character alive. I'm glad they did that. And I like the way they did it. And once again, I did call Alexa Bliss winning that. I know a lot of people think she's like the Roman Reigns of the females division, but I like her. So, yeah, I think it was all in all a really good pay-per-view.
I guess it's my turn. I guess I was just like hoping for like somebody else. Like I did pick Ember Moon to win. She didn't win, but I just thought just that two women's matches, I guess I was like just a little bit disappointed. Like I'm not saying that I hate Alexa Bliss, because I'm a fan of her too, but I just thought like it was just bad timing with her, like, getting the belt back after she recently lost it at WrestleMania. I just thought that maybe early next year she would have won it back or something like that. But overall with the show, it was pretty good.
Okay, so I guess I'm in the minority then, because I thought the pay-per-view was terrible. just everything that WWE has built up to make someone stronger, they basically regressed and went backwards. So just like you said with Alexa, like, they had all of those women in that match that could have won that Money in the Bank. I mean, like, Becky needs another go at the belt. Like, Ember Moon, she's been showing up. They could have done something with Natalya and made her work against Ronda Rousey. Same thing with the men's Money in the Bank is Braun Strowman doesn't need the Money in the Bank to get a title shot. You know what I mean? And he's already lost to Brock a couple of times now. And if you've lost a couple of times, why would the people want to see the exact same match again? Now, yeah, he can cash in whenever, but then that also shows that the biggest, baddest guy on the show isn't really that big and bad, because now he has to kind of sneak in and win the title. A bunch of guys, and they're like the same with you, AJ, like with the New Day, you could have thrown Big E in there and had him win, maybe had some dysfunction in New Day. Samoa Joe could have been the Money in the Bank. The Miz could have been Money in the Bank. Like, to me, everything they've been building for, you know, a handful of months now, oh, and even Shinsuke and AJ, you built Shinsuke to be this awesome heel, and then all of a sudden he just gets destroyed and he loses. Same with Elias. Elias is probably one of the most entertaining things on Raw, and this would have been the perfect time to let him get the Intercontinental title. That didn't work. Kaz and Daniel Bryan, they've been building Kaz, like, basically saying, oh, I'm big, you're small, blah, 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 and now he's lost to Daniel Bryan twice in a row on pay-per-view. So, like, literally, it's like they just redid 2 months' worth of stuff and just started over. Like, I don't really know what the point of this pay-per-view was.
I have to agree with Skylar a little bit. Go ahead.
I guess, like, the Intercontinental Championship, that was a very good match. I forgot about that one. I think everybody called it.
Yes, we all called it. It was a very good match. I was pleased with it, actually. But, yeah, on the other hand, I have to agree with Skylar about, like all the conversation, like what he said about Braun Strowman not needing to win the Money in the Bank match to get a title shot. I mean, he's big. He's got strength. He pretty much can run over anybody. He's got the athletic ability to do whatever. And it's just like what AJ was saying last week on our show, like how Alexa was like, you know, like they've given it to her, she lost it, and now they gave it to her again, and nobody called that. But it's just really weird. Like, they are kind of going backwards a little bit, and they could have given it to other people. Like, Braun Strowman, like, I don't know. I think if you lose to Brock Lesnar twice, you should start over. Like, everybody else has to. You notice that? When people lose, they have to start from the bottom and earn it all over again, whereas Braun Strowman, he's like, he's still at the same high top level. Like, what are they thinking? I don't know.
Well, there are people that keep at the top, even though they lose a lot. Roman Reigns is an example. He lost a lot of his big shots, but he's always, you know, being pushed. And I know I'm not a fan of his, but I think he should be a mid-card.
Wait, who did you just say should be a mid-card?
Roman Reigns. And I know he always, they always seem to push him. He didn't get a lot of push this time, but he gets a lot of repetitive push. And I don't think he gets the pop. He doesn't win enough of the big matches. But he's one of the guys that's always top tier, where he really shouldn't be.
Well, there's a few of them that shouldn't be top tier.
Yeah, I would have to disagree with that. Roman Reigns, he has like the highest, one of the highest merchandise sales, and he basically beats just about everybody except Brock Lesnar. So he kind of, he's basically like a top 10 guy no matter what, probably top 5.
I can see WWE doing Fatal 4-Way. I mean, you know, we saw, if you all watch Raw on Monday, like Roman Reigns came out, then other people came out, oh, I deserve it, I deserve it, I deserve it. It's like, well, earn it.
Right, exactly. But what would you guys would grade the pay-per-view before we had, move on here? What would y'all grade the pay-per-view? Like, what would you grade it?
I'd go for a B. B.
I would say a B plus.
That's pretty harsh, right? Okay. There, D plus. But I understand why you're giving it what you give it, but
it just didn't. There wasn't enough good. Okay, how many matches? There were 10 matches. There just wasn't enough like good matches. Does that make sense? And then another thing they did was they've built up Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy as this. They weren't even on the show. Like.
Well,
that
they
blew
were
my mind.
Match, you know.
They what?
Yeah, you're right. They were supposed to match.
Yeah. And like, you just, I don't know. Like, the whole pay-per-view to me just, it didn't have, like, an it factor of, like, and, I mean, just like you guys said, like, you basically were able to pick every win in the entire show, and it's like a show shouldn't be that predictable.
Well, unfortunately, that's how WWE is, though.
Yeah.
That's how they are.
Historically predictable. I mean, there's times you can sit down and watch Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or any one of their broadcasts, and you can pick the whole broadcast. And a lot of times you can pick who's going to come out and do the interference in the matches as well.
Yeah, but they normally don't do that with, like, okay, so Money in the Bank is one of their big pay-per-views. Like, it probably is up there with the big four. And normally with the big pay-per-views, you shouldn't be able to pick things, like a Royal Rumble. Most of the time, you have your couple of people that you're like, okay, this person can win, this person can win. Same with Money in the Bank, where it's like, oh, okay, maybe this person, but I can also see this person, and I can see this person, but it was like, it just didn't matter that anybody else was even in the match, if that makes sense.
I think it makes
sense
only because, like, it's really bizarre. I think they made changes at the last minute. It did seem a little rushed from now what you're saying. It did seem a little rushed. I didn't give it a full grade A. I mean, I gave it a B. I mean, I'd give it a 7 out of 10, considering, you know, the performances and whatever. You know, some of the stuff was kind of disappointing on who won. And, like, I don't know, the Carmella match, I was just like, of course, duh. You know, I called it. But some of it was there, some of it wasn't. But they probably made a lot of changes or felt like, okay, we don't have room for you. You're not going to be in the pay-per-view. So maybe they're going to go all out for Extreme Rules, but let's find out.
Right, exactly. And like I said, I gave it a, I don't know if y'all heard me, but I gave it like a B minus. The two women's matches kind of like, just like pushed me like a little bit farther away from me giving it like maybe a B plus, but yeah, I'd have to grade that like a B minus in my part. But let's go to some news. Got like a little bit of news here. They are launching NXT UK. So I guess they're going to do something different with that, but had like the United Kingdom guys that they got right now and just have them do their own NXT with them. So what are y'all thoughts about that?
Well, I think it's probably really good for the guys over in the United Kingdom. It gives them an opportunity they might not have had before. If they get an opportunity to work for WWE, get on TV, I mean, it's probably the dream that most wrestlers have. I don't know. I'm not a wrestler. Skyler, you are. But I would imagine that if you can work for them, it's probably a dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it, but part of me doesn't get it either. Because, okay, I guess my thing is, like, a good portion of fans that are WWE fans are not indie wrestling fans. So, like, there's a good portion of WWE fans that also aren't NXT fans. And the guys that they're plucking away from the UK, I don't know if you all watch wrestling in the UK at all, but it's basically ICW in, where are they? Is it Scotland, I want to say? Basically, yeah, all of the guys in the UK tournament are all from ICW. So if you watch an episode of ICW, it's literally every single person. Like, I think it's on the Fight Network. Like, you can probably get the Fight app and just watch an episode of ICW, and it's all the same people. So, I mean, I guess it's a bigger stage, but it matters on who's going to watch it.
I'd have to elaborate on Skyler's comment, too, about what he said about, you know, some people are WWE fans, but they're not, like, NXT fans. Like, I am one of those people where I am a WWE fan. I can't watch NXT on TV. I don't know why. I guess I've just never started to watch NXT, but I've been to an NXT live event. I guess it's just one of those shows where I would have to see it live versus watching it on TV, whereas WWE, I can do either or. And from what I saw on Monday, that in the UK there was a new championship tournament winner crowned. They didn't say who, but they just said there was one crowned. I don't know if anybody's got those results.
No.
I'm waiting.
Because like, the I guess the winner was going to end up facing Pete Dunne or Pete Duke. I'm sorry if I'm saying his last name wrong, for the UK championship.
Yeah, it's Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne is actually pretty amazing. I can't wait for them to air that tournament. Like, I do actually enjoy some guys. Like, one of my favorite people to watch, like anybody, is Trent Seven. And he was in the UK tournament. I think he got to, like, the second round or something. But Trent Seven is amazing. Pete Dunne, I mean, a lot of the NXT people have seen him now. But Pete Dunne's pretty cool. If you do get a chance, does everyone have the WWE Network?
I do, yes.
If you get a chance,
yep.
Watch TakeOver Chicago from like a year or two ago, I think it was. Pete Dunne went against Tyler Bate for the UK title. That match was
amazing. Yeah, I've seen that match. Yeah, the match wasn't bad either. It was like one of my favorite matches on that show.
Yeah, I've probably watched it like 4 or 5 times, and I normally don't watch a lot of matches that many times.
Well, I just wrote it down on my do list. I will be checking it out.
Sweet.
Okay, they will like add. I think they will add like a couple of titles. I don't know what they are yet, but probably as soon as that come up, probably will let everybody know.
For the UK, For NXT
yeah.
UK, it's a tag team and a women's title.
Oh, okay. I thought they were gonna add something else too. I knew it was like either 3 or 4 total titles that's going to be on that show. Didn't even know that. But I know everybody knows about what happened with Big Cass this week, and there's like a lot of stuff that they don't know. So Carrie, I'm going to let you take the floor on this one.
Thanks. Okay, yeah, from what's been going on, I just found out this today, but what I found out recently about Cass and what happened with him was, like AJ said, there was so much going on, but from what I heard from the get-go was he, when he did his segment with about Daniel Bryan and like we were talking about him before about Daniel Bryan being short and spicing all this up about he's short and he and Cass is big and having that whole robbery situation, I guess he took too long and then he brought out that imposter Daniel Bryan and beat him up in the ring. I guess the segment went too long and then there was some backstage locker room attitude that happened. And then my husband actually brought this up that I guess Big Cass and a few other people were at some establishment and Big Cass was drinking and he, I guess he took it over to the top too much and pretty much confronted Carmella with his bad ass attitude with his alcohol over being too much. So that could have led up to what happened with him too. I don't know if anybody's got any other news about him, but that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, it was a he did went off score, and Vince and Triple H were reportedly was upset about it. And I know that's one when they mentioned something else. I think it was, of course, with that too, that situation with Carmella, and I guess he was like, I guess it's like one of the big things is like I think like nobody didn't care, but I guess he was a Trump supporter. He was like really spreading that out there, but I think nobody didn't care. But I guess some people just think that that was one of the reasons, which I think is like whatever with it.
Yeah, it pretty much says on Wrestling Rumors that he was not reacting positively to ending the whole Daniel Bryan feud. He wanted to, or actually wait, he wanted to move into new things for the next 3 months with his contract, but he was not acting positive to the booking of everything, and he had an argument with WWE Creative.
Right.
Yeah, and
yeah,
he
was
in a foul mood. He was not having anything. He had a confrontation too with 205 announcer Vince Joseph as well.
Really?
Pretty much threatened. Yeah, he pretty much. The claim is Vince Joseph claims that Cass threatened to take his head off and to stay away from him. Which I don't know. With Cass being a New Yorker, I can kind of buy that. I mean, New York people have very strong attitudes. I mean, we all know that. Look at Carmella. She's not really fan-friendly in person, so. And look at how she talks in the ring. So any poor behavior, I guess WWE's cracking down on that.
Yeah, they really are. But I'm just thinking, like, you had your career. Is Jim Ross, yeah, speaking of which, Jim Ross did mention, like, after they let him go, I guess he was like, just try to be smart and work on how to be better. Something those lines that Jim Ross said about him. But I believe he's going to have no problem getting booking after that 90-day clause ended. Maybe he can team up back with Enzo.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's
yeah.
What's going to happen on the independent. I'm guaranteeing they're already trying to line that up and get it going. That would be his wisest move, and that would be Enzo's wisest move. They were really good together, and I can't see him not trying to get back together and work that gimmick.
I can see Mark's point of view, too. I don't think neither one of them are good in singles competition. I think that they have to be either with a tag team or something else to either succeed, but as far as the attitude perspective it goes, I think that, you know, again, WWE's not going to put up with it, and you have to be a professional. You're in one of the biggest wrestling organizations in the world. I think that, you know, if you're doing your job and cooperating with your backstage, getting along with everybody you work with and your bosses, you know, you can't really act a fool out of public. You know, you're still, we think they're a celebrity, you know. They can't act like that.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Right. Well, yeah, they have a lot of people looking up to them. They have a persona that they have in the ring, but on the outside of the ring, they have to act professional. They have to show up in, you know, proper dress. So, yeah, I get where you're going, and I agree with your point.
Yeah,
Skylar, you got anything on that?
Nope. I completely agree. I was just sitting back listening. No, I completely agree. He basically messed it up for himself. That was probably the best match he's ever had. At least Enzo was getting better when he was on 205 Live, at least in the ring. And Enzo can talk by himself. I think Kaz is probably just going to be another, like, TNA knockoff guy. Unless WWE brings him back.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think WWE is going to bring him back. Maybe, maybe not. But I think I think Triple H is going to be stubborn and be like, nope.
Oh, no, I don't think he'll be back.
It all depends on who's
friends
with.
That's it.
But I'm thinking that maybe, like, when he gets better and more mature, then I believe that they probably will bring him back and he'll probably just be back better than ever. But only time will tell on that. But something that I looked at today, it was, like, photos of Charlotte Flair. She was on the body issue of ESPN. I don't know if anybody saw those photos.
I have not seen the photos, but I've heard about it. I heard she was going to be on some cover or something.
Yeah, I did see the photos.
Yeah, what's your opinion about the photos?
From what I saw, I guess I like the photos. I don't know what you're looking for, but I think I don't think she's the most beautiful woman in the world, but I do think she has a very nice physique. I'd gladly look at photos of her if there's photos of her. I don't know what else to say on that.
Believe it or not, Mark, there are people that love Charlotte Flair. I mean, I have a friend who is completely in love with Charlotte Flair. That's like his queen. He just loves her. But, yeah, to each his own. Everybody's got their own personal favorites.
I think she has a rock-solid body. I give her that. I know that she has the implants and whatever. As far as if you take that out and you put her wrestling ability in, I personally think she's one of the best female wrestlers on the roster, regardless of her bloodline. I like her mat skills. I don't find her face very pretty, my opinion.
She's a very nice person to meet in person, though, too. Sorry, AJ, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But reason I brought this up is, like, there was, like, photos that they was, like, I don't know how fans are these days, and half of them I can't even stand. I guess they made fun of her butt. They had, like, a picture of a guy's small butt on there and just saying that was hers or something like that. It was just kind of childish. So that's why I kind of broke it up and just thought, like, you know, that was probably one of the – I wouldn't say that would be, like, comfortable or uncomfortable. I guess it depends how you feel, like, if you want to do, like, a shoot like that. But I just think, like
– What do you think? Yeah, what do you think of her photos?
I like the photos. It's like, Because I recently, like, looked at, like, the body issues of ESPN Magazine, like, in the past, and, like, they, like, has stories behind them, too. Like, probably whenever it comes out, she probably going to have, they probably interview her, too. So, when that ever comes out, probably sometime either this month or next month, I'm going to read the article and just see what she has to say about it. But I just think the photos are good. They're not bad or anything like that.
No, I think they're really good. I do.
Yeah, I think so too. But anybody get a chance, I know it's out online and stuff like that, and I think the ESPN issue of that in other athletes, I don't know what athletes that they have on there this year, but I just know that she's on there. But moving on, I just had something right here, and just give me a second, guys. Did anybody see NXT TakeOver?
Unfortunately, I did not.
No.
I think, like, well, I'm just going to say, like, talk about one match and I'm just going to move on from it. I guess the main event was Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. It was, like, one of their best matches that they had. It seems like they put on, like, some good matches and had, like, crutches. They had, it was the Chicago street fight. It was just something a little different than what you would have in, like, an original street fight. I think, like, Tommaso was handcuffed, and somehow he ended up finishing off the match with a DDT, and I think it was on a chair, and he ended up winning the match. And it was just, like, one of those most insane matches that I ever seen. So if y'all have opportunity to watch a TakeOver, especially watch that match.
Yeah, I'm shocked that I didn't get any NXT alerts on my phone, because I have, you know, I have the WWE app on my phone, and usually I get all the news and all that stuff. But after NXT, another sad thing that happened this week, wrestling related, is that we lost Vader at the age of 63.
Oh, yeah.
That was another legend gone, I think. I mean, he was a very good wrestler. I watched him when I was, you know, when I was a kid. I mean, you know, when he was in wrestling, and saw him perform live, and it was really sad. But from what I heard, he had very bad heart trouble, and he had only so much time to live.
I was going to say the same thing you were just about to say, that they gave him X amount of time and he knew his heart was bad, and at least he knew it was coming and he had time to prepare. I don't know if I would want to know it's coming, but at least if I did know it was coming, I could get everything in order. So I assume he had enough time to get everything in order, knowing that his time was numbered. Because I understand he was told not too long ago that he wasn't going to live much longer.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to do a tribute on him tomorrow or not. Because usually they do. They do it on, you know, whoever passes on. They usually do a tribute to them, or, you know, mention them that they pass.
I don't know.
That's the weird thing.
Oh, go
ahead.
I don't know if they did it. Although I know NXT was recorded, but in the beginning they'll say such and such live this year, live whatever year they put up to this year. But I wonder if NXT this past Wednesday probably has something up like that. If not, then most likely you probably will hear about on Raw tomorrow. I guess one of the things is, like, I read and heard about Vader, like, he was, like, one of the toughest guys and one of the guys that can actually, like, move around in a ring for a big guy. I'm just glad that he had the opportunity in WCW. Then with his run in WWE, it seems like they wanted to push him and give him the title, but you know that controversy and stuff always is getting in the way with certain wrestlers, but I'm just going to leave it at that. So
yeah, that's the issue right there. I'm not sure. I know he left WWE on a bad term, and then I know he came back for like a Monday Night Raw thing with Heath Slater a couple years ago. For Vader not to already be in the Hall of Fame is kind of a disgrace to the WWE Hall of Fame. And, like, they always talk about great big men. Vader was actually one of my favorite wrestlers, like, ever to watch. Like, I could probably sit here and list off, like, so many Vader matches that are, like, classics, and it's like, I'm not sure how WWE is going to react to that and what they're going to do. Like, they should do some sort of, like, tribute video or something, but knowing WWE, like, you never know.
Well, actually, they do have a video tribute on him. So you called it. They do have one. I'm looking at it right now, actually. There are some good tribute pictures and action stuff that is on here, especially with him versus Sid Vicious. They show a clip of that, him with Yokozuna.
I would think just to save face, that even if they're not on good terms with him when he passed, it would be in their best interest to give tribute. To have face value, put it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And that's what they'll
probably
do. You guys
may find it
this
hard to...
Go ahead.
You guys may find this hard to believe, but when I went to one of the WWE shows, this is probably after Vader was no longer with WWE, he was at their arena in the same section I was. We're like, whoa.
Oh, wow, really?
Like, yeah, we got to see him. We're like, that looks like Vader. Yeah, we're like standing right in front of him. I mean, I've walked out of the place, out of the Bradley Center, and I've seen Iron Sheik standing right in front of me, too. So.
I guess, you know,
I've never gotten that lucky. I've had Frankie in front of me, but that was about it.
Wait, who?
I've had Frankie in front of me, the Thumper. That's the biggest person I've had in front of me.
Oh, the Falco?
Yeah, the local promoter from WCW.
We're moving
on.
But that's the biggest star I had in front of me at a live event.
Well, one time my husband went out and went for a smoke, and before the Shield came down where they used to come down on the 200 section, he saw them. He was like 5 feet away from all of them. I was like, you were what? It was amazing. I wish I would have been there to see that. He was like right a few feet away from them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But it'll be a good photo to take. But let's get into this week's Raw. They had about I think 8 matches, I believe. 8 or 7?
Yeah,
yeah,
there were some surprises on Raw. Raw took it this week, guys. I'm sorry, I'm going to stick by it. SmackDown did not have it this week. Raw has it this week. I took a lot of notes.
Yeah, SmackDown was... I think SmackDown only had 3 matches this week. So, yeah, I'd give it to Raw this week as well.
Yeah, with the Usos insanity thing, yeah, you can say that it was 3.
That was the only good thing that happened on SmackDown. Seeing Insanity and Eric Young, yeah. I'm a big Eric Young fan, so I was happy.
Oh, me too. I liked Eric Young. Even when he had a show called Get Hooked, he had a fishing show. I watched the fishing show because I like Eric Young. Yeah, it was good to see him come back out. that.
Yeah, when he was in TNA, I got the pleasure of talking to him on the phone for 10 minutes. It was good. It was fun. All
right. But what do y'all think about what Ronda Rousey had did in the first segment of Raw with Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, she was pissed off. I think she deserves a fine for what she did. I think it was uncalled for because she's not familiar with the wrestling world. She's familiar with the UFC world. I don't think she's quite ready to even, like, I'm glad she didn't get a title. Kind of, I mean, I like her. She seems like she's a friendly person and she would be great to meet, however. But as far as being a professional, I think she went over the top.
I don't know if she went over the top. I think it was probably scripted for it to go the way it was. But other than selling it for just the fans, the way Kurt Angle was standing there and the way then he, yeah, I don't know. It just, to me, it was kind of weak. I kind of saw it coming. The whole little suspension she got, I don't know, maybe she's out filming a commercial or movie or something, but I don't know. To me, I didn't think it was that great.
Alexa coming out and people are chanting, "You deserve a chance," and then her just turning it around and, you know, just
getting
like expressing herself like, "I'm the 5 feet of fury," and yeah, she just twisted it. I thought that was good. She had it.
Tyler?
That's why Alexa's the best. Literally, she does that every single time. And, like, again, I don't want her to have the title because Nia probably deserved a little bit more of a run. But the only cool thing about that entire segment, Ronda Rousey actually kicked one of my friends in the chest. So that was awesome.
Yeah, wasn't Jesse on there?
Yeah, it was Jesse.
He was there.
Yeah. Yeah, we know who he is.
Yeah, he was there at NXT too, this past Saturday. That Saturday too. I think he was breaking up a fight. I can't remember which fight it was. I think it was probably that main event that he was involved in, but yeah. Yes, he had a busy 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on there. There was a clip of him on there. So, and then moving forward, what do you guys think about the Seth Rollins giving the Intercontinental Challenge and Dolph Ziggler winning it? I feel like WWE is giving him another chance to possibly be on his own. Maybe we'll see a split between him and Drew McIntyre. I mean, last week we were talking about him, and, you know, he's not one of my favorites, and I still don't think he's worthy of having an Intercontinental title. I don't foresee the run being very long.
I kind of disagree with parts of that. I like the zigzag and the way it got flipped and Ziggler has the belt. I don't think they're going to split up right now. I do eventually think, you know, 6-8 months down the road, they might, and McIntyre might turn on him if this run lasts. I like it. I think it's good. I happen to like that segment, that part.
I did hear another rumor, though, on this. There's a possibility. I heard something about Dean Ambrose being at the Performance Center. So there could be a turnaround where he could be back before Extreme Rules or after Extreme Rules and coming for that title.
Yeah, I can probably see after. But although, I think Seth Rollins, he got his rematch this tomorrow, don't he?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a rematch.
Okay.
I see Dolph cheating.
Right.
This is the issue I have with WWE. So just like I was saying with Money in the Bank, so Elias has earned that spot, and Elias gets buried at the pay-per-view, all of a sudden Monday comes, and Dolph Ziggler, who isn't on a good run, I mean, they got basically tossed out of a battle royal for, like, the tag team spot or whatever, and it's like, oh, now we're just going to give this guy a title? Like, and it's not even an earned shot or anything. Like, that, to me, that kind of made Seth Rollins almost look pointless as well, if that makes sense.
Right. I think probably one of the issues, because, you know, like, Dolph Ziggler recently signed, you know, back with them before, like, because there was rumors he potentially was just going to leave. Because, you know, like, lately he was unhappy, but I guess this could be one of them pushes that they wanted to give him or they agreed to during his contract signing or whatever. But I have no issue with this. Like, I was shocked that Dolph Ziggler won it, but I have no issue with it. And like I said, I think, like, they may chase the tag team titles probably maybe sooner or later. Well, Dolph can have, like, the tag title and the Intercontinental title. And it'd be something good for Drew to do, too, like, since there's no Universal title there at the moment. But,
Here's my question.
Mentioned,
Here's my question for everybody. What has Dolph Ziggler done in his entire run that has ever mattered?
I have to go with Skylar on this. Nothing, to me, nothing, really, to deserve a shot right away.
Hey, he's got good hair. He's got good hair. He was a great cheerleader.
Not anymore. Like, he's literally had every single title that WWE has, except, what, the Universal World Heavyweight title or whatever. But he had the World Heavyweight title when it was an actual championship. So it's like, he's had every single belt, and nothing he's ever done has mattered.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't see nothing with him going any further. I think this reign is going to be short.
I think they're trying to reenact 10 years later, 20 years later, whatever. I think McIntyre is Nash and Ziggler is Shawn Michaels.
Agreed.
I think that's what they're trying to do now.
DX part 2 or 3? Maybe.
Well, I don't know if it's DX,
no.
But
it's the dudes with attitude.
Right, you remember when Nash was the enforcer for Michaels? That's kind of what this is right now.
Oh, yeah,
that's
true. That's what it looks like.
Right,
and,
but,
you know, if it sells, it'll last, but we'll see.
Right, they do got a little bit of time on that, so we'll see. As we mentioned, Dolph Ziggler did defeat Seth Rollins for the title. Bobby Roode defeated Kurt Hawkins. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt defeated Veteran Rhino. Jinder Mahal beat Chad Gable in a tag match. I think I did not get a winner on that. I think the Wyatt squad beat Bayley and Sasha Banks with their issues going on, yada, yada, yada. Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley defeated The Revival. Mojo Rawley defeated No Way Jose. And Baron Corbin and Kevin Owens defeated Braun Strowman and Finn Balor.
I do have a couple of things to say about Raw before we move on. I know we're getting running out of time. There was one best promo, Raw promo, and one sucky promo. The best promo ever was the B team playing Hardy and Wyatt. I thought that was hilarious.
I agree.
Was great. I was just falling off my couch. It was funny.
Yep. Yeah, that was funny.
And my worst promo, of course, was the whatever how long, maybe a minute or two with the Bobby Roode Kurt Hawkins match and him losing the 204th match. I kind of was like, oh my God, I'm I'm just let's move on.
I don't know where they're going with the Curt Hawkins losing constantly. Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I don't get it. I don't know what the angle is.
I have to say, Roman Reigns did have some pep in his voice on Monday. He had some feisty, charismatic stuff to say, calling Bobby Lashley a little pup. That was funny as shit. I was like, ooh, he finally got some insults. It was good.
Right. Let's see, the results of SmackDown as well, though I know we are running a little bit out of time. Becky Lynch defeated Billie Kay. The Tag Team Championship rematch, Harper and Rowan defeated Gallows and Anderson. The Usos and Sanity was a no contest. And the five-man gauntlet, Rusev ended up winning that.
Yeah,
so
I was
what
disappointed. Disappointed at SmackDown this week.
Well, I know why you're disappointed. I'm kind of disappointed, too. Even though I was kind of rooting for The Miz. I know you were rooting for The Miz.
Yeah.
Rusev's going to be a nice change. Hopefully he can pull it off and it goes somewhere. I don't like it when they have these changes and all of a sudden it results in a dead end and nothing happens afterwards. So hopefully Rusev can do something. But I was hoping for The Miz.
Yeah, I mean, when we were watching the Money in the Bank, not to go back or anything, when we were watching the Money in the Bank with Miz, almost had that briefcase like four times. I was like, oh, I know who's going to win this already, and it's horrible. But he almost had that briefcase like four times. Too much
excitement.
Yeah,
it was very close. Yeah, it was very close. But we're going to try to quickly get to my point of views of the week. So, Skylar, what's your point of view of the week?
WWE is becoming complacent. That's all I got for SummerSlam in a couple months.
Yeah, I think everybody will be hoping for that. Mark, your point of view of the week.
My point of view of the week, I guess this week was the first week Raw was better than SmackDown in probably a month. So I'm looking more forward to watching Raw this week than SmackDown, which is kind of a change. I hope it continues because it's supposed to be their flagship show. And I really would like to see both Hardy Boys, even though one's on SmackDown with Jeff, utilized a little bit more, and I'd like to see that angle go somewhere. So that's all I got.
Okay, Carrie, your point of view of the week.
Okay, well, let me see. My point of view of the week is WWE needs to quit it with their promo matches, unless if it's good. But, yeah, they do need to either change their creative team or they really need to get some fans' point of view on what they could do to make the pay-per-views more exciting. And yeah, they really need to step it up because you don't call Extreme Rules for nothing if it's not going to be a good pay-per-view. So let's go, people. Let's step it up.
Right. A match reminder, Jeff Hardy will face against, I think, Shinsuke Nakamura this Tuesday on SmackDown. And that's all the time we have. I want to thank all of you who's listening and thanking the hosts for being on here. So we will be back here next Sunday. And don't forget about the other shows, the Hazel Runs Her Mouth show that's going to be on 8:30 p.m. Central Time. Also, my show on 8 o'clock on Thursdays. So thank you all for listening, and we will be back on here next week. So have a good night, everyone.
See you guys next week.
Peace out.
Adios.